Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heads or tails.
I don't know shit about building no damn websites. I know shit about annoying directors and actors until they agree to come on the show and don't actually do it.
And with that, we'll start the episode. Welcome to episode 17, everybody.
17, we're almost legal.
We're almost, yeah. Thanks for listening. We have a great time doing the show. I said that last time, but I'm going to reiterate it because...
Because we have so much fun doing this show. Oh,
you are the worst. It's.
I'm giving it about 35% this week.
Really? Why 35%?
I don't know, because I don't want to be 35, so I'm seeing what it feels like to do it at 35%.
That disjointed, pathetic voice you hear is my co-host, Matt Smith, to my right.
Matt, I'm too sexy for this podcast, Smith.
Say hi to the crowd.
Hi to the crowd.
Jesus Christ. The worst. And to my left, special guest, who I've been trying to get on. Well, in fact, we had done sort of like a test pop culture podcast that we had recorded, which I haven't even really heard at all.
No.
My brother Bo, who is my wife's sister, is here to join us.
So technically brother-in-law, but
no, yeah, whatever.
I'm your brother.
Okay, in-law.
Your wife's sister.
Your wife's sister.
You said it's my wife's sister.
Hey, the pit wants what the pit wants.
Well, you know, I do have a vagine, so.
Well, yeah, no, and it's hard to get somebody who's not necessarily like a horror fan to get in to do a horror podcast, but I think, you know, I don't know.
This was an easy film to watch, even for...
Oh, he's getting ahead of it. Ooh, I love it.
Yeah, no, I could tell you, like, because you were prefacing...
Hold it. Yeah. Hold it till we get there.
Uh-oh. Oh, God.
You're fucking with the format, Bo.
We have a format since when?
Oh, shit, I didn't get the memo.
No, sorry, we don't have a format.
We didn't make a memo.
We're a free-flowing podcast that just does things organically, and that's how we do.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm not the biggest B movie fan, and you know that. So.
Yeah, you tend to be a fan of the more mainstream.
Absolutely,
which is not necessarily
period mainstream. Period music, movies, TV.
Gotcha.
Like most of it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that makes
sense.
Let's see. Did we have any? Oh well, actually, before we get to our next part, if you haven't noticed out there, of all of our four fans, we have a fresh new website design.
Beautiful website.
Mm-hmm. We have a.
I mean, when it's compared to that one we had before, like anything's beautiful.
We also have a brand new Who Goes There logo, which is awesome.
It is.
Check it out. It was done by, oh God, what's her little company name? I don't know, but it was done by my cousin Amanda Hodges. So shout out.
Yeah, thank you very much, Amanda.
Or the ACH.
All of that 36 seconds of work that took me 6 months of begging.
Well, no, you just needed to ask correctly.
With beer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how it is. All right, you had a couple things you wanted to chat about, right?
Yeah, just a little bit of horror news since the last time. They're building an Edgar Allan Poe statue in Boston, life-size. I thought it was a cool little thing, but yeah.
I bet it has a raven on it.
I bet it has to do with that show, The Following. Mm. I bet if it wasn't for that show, which, by the way, is awesome. I love that show.
I got about 3/4 of the way through the first season. Uh-huh. And we sort of, when our kid was born, we sort of lost touch with it. But they have it on Hulu, and second season is about to start?
No, it's about 4 episodes deep now.
Oh, shit. So
but
really,
it's still pretty good.
Really like, behind,
It was one of those shows where like I watched it with Erica, and she was like, oh my God, that's so stupid. Oh my God, really? You're going to let that happen? And she was ruining it for me. Like, oh, wait, they're not recording the conversation like through the glass, and I couldn't watch it anymore. I was like, fine, I'm not going to watch this shit anymore with you.
You just got pissed off.
I got pissed, yeah, because she was like just ruining the whole like mood, the whole vibe for me. So I was like, you know what? I stopped watching it. And now season 2 came out, and the teaser trailers look fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I started watching it on Netflix. Season 1's on Netflix.
How far did you get into season 1?
I'm probably only about 6 or 7 episodes in. So he just met his son.
So the shit has only been tossed at the fan at this point.
Yeah,
right? It hasn't yet hit the fan.
Yeah.
We stopped watching, I think it was like 2 episodes after he gets to the mansion. And The little short-haired girl is trying to get up on his
Emma.
On his nuts.
Just prior to that, I think he just got to the mansion basically and like reunited with.
So we're pretty much almost in the same spot. Yeah. Okay, we'll have to.
Well, you guys are missing out, and you should get on that shit.
I know. It's one of my shortcomings.
I'm sure you guys caught The Walking Dead though.
Not this last episode.
Oh, no,
dude, I'm so behind on Walking Dead.
I thought you were like the big Walking Dead nerd. You're the one that wanted to do it anyways.
You know, that first episode really turned me off, man.
Oh, you did see the first episode.
Yeah, so ever since we talked about it on the episode, whatever, I haven't watched it.
This mid-season break made it for me, like made it acceptable to keep watching it.
Yeah, the ending of the last season was really good.
Yeah.
And I actually was interested in actually the first two episodes. It's been two episodes so far, and it was really enjoyable. First one was just kind of Rick and Carl, and then you kind of find out what happened with the other people at the prison, at least some of them in episode two.
Yeah. But the whole dynamic with the fuck you, dad, like that whole thing, it was...
He's getting, his peaches are dropping, so he's getting a little angsty.
I don't need you, and then...
Yeah. I totally need you!
Yeah, exactly.
Get in the house, Carl!
Stay in the goddamn house, Carl.
Oh, man. See, I wish it was a little more like the comic, even though, like, I only know bits and pieces. I just want him to get his eye shot out already, so he could start wearing another eye patch.
Comic spoiler, God.
Oh. If you haven't read that, I don't even read the comic, and if you haven't seen that, which happened... like years and years ago, then you don't need to worry about being spoiled anyways.
Okay, well...
Or at least I don't give a shit about spoiling it.
The opinions expressed by Matt Smith are not necessarily...
Are those of the asshole that are Matt
podcast.
Smith.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah, great.
The original Godzilla is going to be in theaters in different parts of the country for a few days at a time. The closest to us is Alameda, California, but it's in Washington, Texas, New York.
So what you're saying is we're not going...
I don't know. I might go to Alameda. It might be fun to go see Godzilla in the theater.
Gojira. Gojira.
You're horrible.
Am I horrible or is it you?
I'm not horrible. You're the one that had to go to the Jira. Oh, wait. Gojira. It could be Gojira.
No. speaking of Godzilla, though, did you guys watch the trailer for Godzilla, the updated Godzilla?
Not yet.
I haven't
the
seen
teaser
shit.
Trailer?
I kind of don't want to see anything until it actually comes out. I just want to be completely surprised.
So let's quick talk about the abortion that was the Matthew Broderick Godzilla. Did you see this fucking movie?
The 1997? 90
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
Oh, boy.
With that weird... Led Zeppelin cover.
The Led Zeppelin because the Cashmere cover and then the Rage Against the Machine song. Holy
no thanks.
Shit. Yeah, no, it was bad, dude. But anywho, they've basically taken the old design of Godzilla and revamped it a little bit, but basically kept him the same. Like, he's that same sort of slope back kind of long tail. He's not a fucking T-Rex anymore, which is nice.
Well, this is supposed to be, like, the biggest Godzilla ever, too. I mean, biggest isn't tallest. It's bigger than the Cloverfield monster. It's bigger than... I saw a little pictograph that showed the different sizes of all these horror monsters from Godzilla and Gojira and Mothra and all the way up to the Cloverfield monster. And this Godzilla is...
Towers above them?
All of them. Nice. It's, like, 150 stories tall, it looked like.
Just lay waste to Japan, please. Erase it from the map.
Didn't the typhoons already do that?
Oh, two tsunamis.
I'll drink to that.
Pound Cheers. On the table.
Oh, you're actually drinking to that. You're a terrible human being.
Another cool thing, Dead Snow 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
And they actually have the zombies on display in the subway in Oslo. So you can see them all in cases as you're going and hopping the train to work.
Interesting.
That'd be creepy.
Because, you know, you just want to see full-blown Nazis standing there on your way to work.
Right. Oh, and speaking of, I guess, different marketing. So Devil's Due that came out last week.
Hell Baby Part 2.
Didn't do so well.
It didn't look like it was going to be any good. It looked like it was better when it was Hell Baby.
Yeah. And we probably did ourselves a favor by not reviewing it. But I think the best part of that whole movie was that prank that they pulled on
the viral marketing.
Yeah, the viral marketing prank.
Little
that was
zombie baby.
That was incredible. Yeah, and it would like spit out like little green pea, and it was awesome.
Little pea soup.
I said green pea.
It was a baby.
Yeah.
There's news on the remake of Stephen King's It as well. The director.
Does it have John Cusack in it?
No. But the director, Cary Fukunaga, announced that it's going to be a two-parter. The first part is going to be just about the kids, and he's rewriting the script now. It's going to be like Goonies meets a horror film, and that's all he's focusing
Which
on.
Which is what, I mean, if
Which it should have been, but...
Well, if you've seen the original, that's the good parts in it are the parts that focus on the kids. When right. The adult parts are boring.
Yeah, they grew up to be a bunch of little bitches. They were all stronger when they were kids. It's, you have this clown tormenting you and your kids, and you can take it, but then you grow up, and it's like, well, fuck this and a mortgage. I'm taking the easy way out.
This and a mortgage?
Wow. One or the other, not both, please.
Yeah, I can't do both. Killer clown or a mortgage. And, I choose death.
Also, finally, the Sony has recently made the behind-the-scenes making of The Last of Us available. It's a 90-minute documentary. Available to watch on Amazon Instant Video, so you can get to see behind the scenes on the voice acting.
Awesome.
And see how one of the best horror games ever was made. Speaking of which, two fans actually redid Resident Evil 2 in high def and added over-the-shoulder targeting.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Because fucking Capcom's not going to do it. But that game was brilliant, and the controls suck, and it looks like shit.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of redoing fan remakes, so the RoboCop prequel...
Yeah, I heard that was a gem.
Whatever.
According to IMDb itself, or Rotten Tomatoes.
But a bunch of super fans actually redid the movie shot by shot. Like that Star Wars, did you ever see that where they redid Star Wars, but like with really shitty ass, you know, each person had like a 2-minute section. And
it was you mean amazing. Family Guy? When they did
I'm
it?
I'm sorry, what now?
Family Guy, when they did that Star Wars recap?
The Blue Easter or whatever. No, no, no. Yeah, Blue Harvest. No. This was a fan-made thing where each, like, there's X amount of directors and each one had like 2 minutes of... Anyways, terrible story. Moving on.
So, I had a little fun idea that I thought we could do since...
Oh, shit.
Bo is, as we say, a normie and doesn't watch a whole lot of horror movies. And since George is an expert...
What? Shit.
You have a podcast. It's more than most.
Oh, is it?
So, I thought we could play a little game called Horror Movie Tagline or Screamo Lyric.
But see... I think Bo's at a double discrepancy here.
And why
because
is that?
I know screamo bands.
Well, he can kind of just guess. Like you hear something stupid and you assume it's got to be screamo, but therein lies right. The challenge because a lot of horror movies have really dumb.
Our first official quiz.
Okay, because like the tagline for the horror movie we're watching is the future of horror.
Oh, we haven't even talked about it yet, but we'll get to it.
It's the future of horror.
He's teasing it.
The tagline for the movie Freaks, you know, the 1932 flick. Yeah. Was can a full-grown woman really love a midget? Dumb things like that.
Yeah.
But then you get hardcore and screamo bands, and they have really ridiculous things, too.
This is true.
So I've got a few different things
here. So it's not the title, it's the tagline.
It's the tagline. Ah. So it's like Halloween, the night he came home. It's the night he came home.
Oh, okay. This could be difficult.
So I have a few here.
Okay.
And I'm gonna read them off. I'm going to read one off, and then you guys are going to... say whether you think it's a lyric from a screamo band or it's a horror movie tagline.
Okay.
And at the end, we'll see who has the most
points. Got it. Awesome. Oh, shit.
Okay. First one. I live, I stalk, I hunt, I eat.
I'm saying screamo band.
I would agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
What band was it, sir?
You're both correct. That's Atreyu. Stop before it's too late and we've destroyed it all.
Atreyu. God.
Gonna
trade. Okay.
I'm gonna go first this time.
Okay.
They wear the sheepskins, but you are the monster.
Ooh.
They wear the sheepskins, but you are the monster.
I'm gonna say tagline.
I'm gonna disagree and go screamo band.
George is right.
Yes!
It's Lipstick Tourniquets by Vendetta Red.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So far, 2-0.
2-0. They will make cemeteries their cathedrals, and the cities will be your tomb.
Tagline.
Yeah, tagline.
That's right.
Oh!
Demons, 1985.
Damn.
Okay. A screaming demon rages inside, turning him into Mr. Hyde. Don't give him no sass or he'll kick your ass.
That's definitely got to be a lyric.
So, wait, my thought process on this is that's way too much rhyme scheme for a lyric. So, I'm going tag. Movie tag.
George is right. Dr. Black, Dr. Hyde, 1976.
In your face!
I thought that one would be a little hard. Okay. There's more than one way to lose your heart.
Definitely movie.
I would say movie.
Because you're right, My Bloody Valentine.
Wait, we're not right.
Yeah, that's a movie tagline.
Oh!
My Bloody Valentine, the movie, yeah. Not the band. Sorry.
I was like, oh,
that was
wrong.
A trick question.
It was both.
Both, huh?
Okay. And reload for the greater good.
I say movie.
Movie.
That's Every Time I Die, Organ Grinder.
Oh, shit.
Really? I was thinking
so
like,
George
with
went,
a shotgun or
George
something.
Went 5 for 6.
Not
but,
bad.
Not bad. Yeah. You did better than I thought you would.
Really good.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for your faith, you son of a bitch. Well, so we didn't talk about it, but the movie we're going to be talking about tonight is... Hell Baby!
Bad Milo!
Bad Milo! No, we're
shit,
talking...
I watched the wrong movie.
Shit. Damn it.
If you watch Bad Milo, you watch the right movie.
Get out of here. No, we all watched The Signal, which is a staff pick. That was my pick for
because
this time.
George seems to hate my picks.
It's not just me.
It's not just me.
Fair enough.
I'm going to kind of blow my wad here and say this is actually one of my favorite films in the last 10 years. Not necessarily the whole film, but that middle section. This is for anybody who hasn't seen the movie. It's I guess it's a horror anthology. It's a three section horror movie.
I saw it as a romantic comedy.
All right. Well, give us a little synopsis then.
So this is a romantic comedy about Lewis. a misunderstood, lovable guy, and Maya, his restless girlfriend. And there's a signal that gets put out that brings out the crazy in people. And Maya's unaffected because she's the only person in the world that still uses a Discman. Mm-hmm. And she runs off to start a new life. And Lewis follows her. And it's a story about the kooky people they meet on the way. And ultimately, can true love conquer all?
With a lot of head bashing, though.
Yeah.
Okay, well, with that description, Matt was saying that it's sort of some sort of signal that gets put out through the TV and it gives people the crazy as they put it in the movie, and it's split into three parts. The first part is kind of it's almost like a straight up, like, if you've seen The Crazies, it's kind of that feel where people are going, you know, killing each other, fucking stabbing each other in the face, whatnot.
Really like a splatter fic.
It's a splick. The second part, which is my favorite, one of my favorite things that have ever been filmed, it's essentially this like kooky ass scene where it's a dinner party that's supposed to be going on, and people are acting fucking bonkers, and I think there might be one normal-ish person at the party, but they're all kind of fucked in the head. Anywho, you've got some vital stats in this movie. Give them to me.
No, I don't have any stats.
Director?
So, there's actually three directors. The first section was...
That makes sense. Yeah. Why it was so completely different.
It was written and directed by three directors. David Bruckner did the first section, which was called Crazy in Love. Jacob Gentry did the second section, which was something like The Jealousy Complex. Yeah. And the third one, which I don't remember, was Dan Bush.
Escaping the Term.
Terminal.
Which
something.
I think is the weakest of the three.
Right, it was.
I was waiting for the M. Night Shyamalan twist there at the very end.
We'll get to the end.
Yeah, I don't want to...
Yeah, so we can start from the beginning. It's a film where... you know, you see what appears to be boyfriend and girlfriend in bed, whatnot. And...
Well, even before that,
that
confused the shit out of me.
At the very beginning, like,
I think that was just
up.
What was on. I think that was what was on TV. What they were watching first. So there was like this really horribly acted, super cheesy horror movie, and just terrible cinematography, and. I was really confused at first because I'm like, okay, well, this is a little more low budget than I'd assumed. And the acting is really bad and they just jumped right into it. What the hell is going on? And then it started messing up and I watched the video online. So I thought at first that
did you think your VCR was fucked up?
I thought Amazon was like glitching or something.
Adjust tracking.
And I couldn't watch the episode. I was like, damn it, I'm not going to be able to watch this movie. And then it goes black for a few seconds, and then the signal kicks in. And so I was like, okay.
Right, so what I think they were doing is like the, you know, when we were kids, you would watch late night movies, and at some point at midnight or whatever the hell it was, like it would just be like a cut, mm-hmm. and it would be static.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what they were...
And the poltergeist would come.
Yes, the poltergeist would come. But go ahead, talk about the first section.
That's what I thought about the first section. No, that first section was actually from the Hapgood story. It was a winning extra in a 48-hour film fest, and it was directed by Jacob Gentry, the guy that did the second part.
Okay.
And that whole video is actually available on the DVD extra features.
Oh, but did not know that.
Yeah, just... It tricked me. It confused the shit out of me when it was on.
Yeah, I haven't... beyond watching this film, I haven't researched much of anything for it. So that's actually kind of an interesting little tidbit there.
Ain't it, though?
So yeah, we're after that little weird section. You get to a point where the boyfriend and girlfriend getting out of bed, whatever. And is the TV at this point, like, doing its thing?
It's all wonky, right?
It's all wonky, and they kind of watch it, but they kind of don't.
Well, it was more him. Like, he got up to the TV, right? And, like, he was staring at it for a second. She was still in bed or something.
Yeah.
Like, getting ready.
Right.
And he was, like, receiving the signal almost.
He's like, that's weird. The TV just turned itself on
or
something.
She's like, what was that?
Yeah. But, yeah, so...
You come to find out that she's cheating on her husband because she's saying, oh, I got to get back to him. And he eventually tries to convince her to just leave him and just be happy. Says, oh, we can do all this stuff like throwing my TV off the roof. Or we could just go to the train station and hop on a train tomorrow on New Year's Eve and start a new life and a new year and womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, and I can't.
Here, I made this for you.
Yeah.
And that's where the...
Yeah, here, I made you this mix CD. Oh, it just so happens that you
have a
1990s Discman in your purse.
Yeah, well, epic. Presumably this movie was in the 90s, right?
Really?
What the hell?
They had cell phones.
Yeah, but, okay, mid-2000s then.
Who used Discmans in 2000s?
I did. I was poor.
So was I, but still, I at least had an MP3 player.
No, not in 2000.
Yeah.
A little Rio, like 256 megabyte.
Yep.
No way, man.
I had 14 songs on that Mamma Jamma.
Yeah, right. I had a Discman that had a 30-second skip buffer.
The bump delay.
Oh. Yeah.
You could use that in a car.
Yeah.
You can go jogging.
As long as
that.
You got one of those stupid cassette tapes with the cord on it.
Actually, no, I ended up, when I got my first car... It was a Discman, but I spent a lot of money on this deck that had a little MP3 or not MP3 but a headphone jack in.
Oh, nice.
Oh man, I thought it was the shit.
What is the shit? I still don't have one of those.
Did it have the little handle that flipped up, but you could take the whole?
No, in fact,
it had the detachable face.
Oh.
You carry it around in your pocket.
Yeah, with the little case it comes with, so you don't scratch it while it's in your pocket.
You don't want to scratch it. Yeah, got to keep that.
I wonder how many people walked around with partial stereos in their pockets in the 90s.
Well, you remember they actually had the stereo where you pulled out the whole damn thing.
Well, yeah. MacGruber had one of those.
Damn. MacGruber!
Oh, that's right.
So
he's
good.
Got 10 inches of hot loving, and he's gonna give it to you.
Okay.
MacGruber!
What did you guys think of that first section?
MacGruber? I love
no,
it.
Not MacGruber, you fucker.
The first section, I think that was probably my favorite of the entire thing.
Okay.
Well, I mean, not the very first section, but the first transmission is.
Yeah,
well,
the first
transmission,
the first third of the movie, I guess.
We skipped a whole bunch of it, but I think that was probably my favorite, just because it was very splatterhouse. It was very over the top, very guts and gore, and it really did a good job of establishing the tension and the fear. Because what we didn't get to was she leaves the guy's house and goes back to where her boyfriend or her husband lives, or her house. And there's people arguing in the hallway and everybody's just freaking out. And she goes in and there's two roommates or two friends trying to fix the TV, and her husband comes out, and he's kind of suspicious that she's been cheating.
So good.
Like, Put the fear of God in me just watching it, dude. Right. Was just like...
Well, she had a story worked out and everything. Yeah. I went out drinking with the girls. And
what'd you drink?
Yeah, what'd you drink? Where'd you go? Why do you smell like perfume? Yeah. You know, you smell like a whore. I smelled you coming down the street. Wash your vagina.
Jeez. But,
that's kind of how he was. He was very...
Well, and incidentally, that actor is the same guy who was in Your Next.
He was in Your Next, he was in House of the Devil, and he was in Hatchet 2 and Among Friends.
He was in House of the Devil?
He was. He was Beardo McFuckface.
Get out!
Yeah, he was the one that showed up. Because I saw him and I was like, damn, where do I know that guy? And it wasn't from Your Next. And I kind of recognize him from Among Friends, but then I was like, oh, House of the Devil. That's where I know him from, because that movie's actually really cool.
And yeah, we liked it. Well, we did. You and I did.
Oh, you did at the beginning of the show.
No, I still like it. Thinking back to it, I like it.
So, yeah, his name is A.J. Bowen. So when you're like, who is that guy?
He's a good character actor.
He plays a good asshole. He plays a really good asshole.
You almost hit my wife.
Yeah. You almost fucked my wife. Yeah, what? You almost fucking hit my wife.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he flips out on his friend who is trying to assumably watch a baseball game. And he's swinging a baseball bat. And he's like, if I can't watch the game, I'm going to swing the bat. And he takes the bat from the dude and... He clocked him in the head, and
of that shit.
That put, like, this weird, like, ping in my head. Like, that sound, and just the way he hit him out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, cringed.
What you gotta hit me in the dome for?
Oh, man.
You popped me in the dome piece.
But that was the nice thing about that first one, was any bit of violence had that kind of, where you felt it too punched to it.
Yeah, it was pretty visceral.
Just later in the movie, it wasn't the same, but that first section, just anything from a punch to getting hit with the baseball bat, I felt it too, and that was really cool.
Like when she ran into the hallway like shortly after that, right?
Right.
And she like gets trapped up against the wall, and she's like her feet. She's like slipping in that puddle of blood.
Oh,
from that other
person.
Was
such a cool, such a cool little bit.
Dead people all through the hall.
Yeah. And then what was? I always laughed at that because I've seen this movie. It's one of my favorite ones in the last decade. But that weapon that the guy has that's like the spear.
Hedge clippers.
No.
Oh, wait.
No, the black guy, Ron.
Yeah,
the same one.
With like the spikes coming out of
it. He had a giant baseball bat that he duct taped a bunch of like kitchen knives to.
Yeah. So good. Yeah, that first section was pretty brutal. I mean, it was good.
Those shears.
I
grabbed my throat.
Right.
Like, seriously, like when you shink and... There's down on that dude's throat.
There was a guy in the hallway when everything just went to shit that just had hedgers, and he just walked up and just sliced somebody's throat with the hedgers.
I have never in real life looked at a pair of hedge shears and like thought like, damn, that would fucking do some damage to somebody's head. And they actually did it in a movie. I was like, oh, yeah. Man.
It's like that game Clock Tower. Do you ever play that?
No.
Oh, with the Scissor Man. That was one of the creepiest games ever. It was just a dude, like some urban legend, but the guy had a huge pair of just... scissors like that, and he followed you around. It was the first one was an old point and click, but it was terrifying.
Mm.
Super terrifying.
Scissor Man.
It was Scissor Man.
Like
you were saying, the black guy Ron or Rob or whatever his name is, he wasn't the first black guy or the first guy to die in the movie.
No,
so
he wasn't.
That's,
he had a pretty good little record.
That's kind of good.
He had some bodies on that thing.
Yeah, so he survived, and he pulled Maya into the closet and made sure she didn't have the crazies, and then they were going to go to Maya's car
and that's the whole
together.
Thing is like they ask each other, do you have the crazy?
Do you have the crazy? Yeah.
As if somebody who had the crazy
every would. Woman has the crazy. He just should have assumed that to begin with.
Yeah. Well, he tied her up right away, so.
Yeah.
he forgot to tie her to the stove,
though.
Oh, bok. Wow.
So then they escape, and the guy tries to fight a lady in the street and gets shot, and Maya and, I don't remember his name, Ron or Rod, we'll call him Ron. Ron drive off, and that's when shit's about to get crazy, and...
He turns on the fucking stereo, right?
Yep.
And that's when...
See, and that's what we didn't say, was that the signal is transmitted through television, phone, and radio.
Right.
So
everyone
has heard it. And he starts freaking out in the car. He's like, you bitch, you shot me. You shot me. I'm going to bleed out. You're going to leave me here. And then he just punches her in the side of the head. And the really nice thing when he did that,
I mean
aesthetic wise, is that the screaming and the audio completely cut out. It was like you get punched in the head and you see stars and you don't hear anything for a second.
It fucks you up.
And then he just double tapped her twice more.
Well, you know that feeling. You got a fucking softball right to the face.
I did. I took saw
man,
stars.
I think it was the first or second game I ever played with this guy, softball. He took not a line drive.
That was a bullet.
Right to the nose. Just,
No shit.
You just shook it off, though. I wanted to keep playing. They're like, no, you might have a concussion. You should just go over there.
You might want to sit the fuck down.
I was like, all right. But, yeah. So I know what it's like to just completely get hit in the face and lose all sound.
It messes you up.
And then she crashes the car and walks away and cries and says she's going to Terminal 13 to start a new life. And we enter the second transmission.
Oh, the second transmission.
Which, it almost seems like each of the different transitions follows a different character. It seems like the first one followed Maya more than anything. The second one follows her husband, Lewis. And the third one follows a fucking dude that wishes he was Simon Pegg.
Yeah, and that last section, man. We'll get to it. The second section is I think
hilarious.
It's fucking hilarious, and I think that's one of the best things about it is it's in this movie where you've already had the first third be really brutal and really, you know, viscerally jarring. Like, you know, you have brutal killings and whatnot. The second third is really it's really one of the funniest things in a horror movie I've ever seen.
It's very black comedy. It was a little Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah,
it felt.
Yeah,
just kind of silly for silliness' sake.
Which was good. I mean, if we're talking,
that's why I think that Lewis was the confused or the misunderstood lovable guy, and he just wanted his girl back, and the world didn't want him to have his girl back.
So yeah, he goes looking for Maya. Maya? Mia?
Correct, Maya.
And ends up at a house where a husband and wife are preparing for a dinner party. That's essentially what happens.
Right.
And so he shows up, and
Well, it didn't start with Lewis. What had happened was there was a woman talking to her husband, overly cheery. And it should be said that the signal doesn't make everyone violent. It just brings out insecurities and bad stuff in the people.
That's a good way to put it.
That's why that woman was very much into her housewife role. She was she was overly perfect.
She reverted to it because that's...
She was very June Cleaver.
Right.
Because that's her extreme. So she wound up having to kill her husband in self-defense, and the guy that watched Maya crash the car came running over and was like, I need help. And she's like, I'm planning a New Year's Eve party. I have no idea what's going on around me. And I just killed my husband by inflating his trachea with a fucking balloon pump. And
well, that's it. Where's Ken? I need to borrow something from Ken.
Yeah.
And like, Ken's back is to, what's his name? Clark.
Clark.
Yeah. And he like, Ken. Oh, Ken's dead. Like,
aww. Yeah. And then she's like, I'm sorry. Are you mad at me for killing your friend? Yeah. Did that ruin your evening? I'm trying to plan a New Year's Eve party.
that whole bit is just incredible. I mean, I don't want to talk too much about like the deaths in the scene, but there's
some great ones.
There are some great ones.
Why not? This movie's been out for 7 years. It's not like we're gonna spoil
it. It's true.
Lewis shows up at the party. And
we can preface the whole bit by saying Lewis is a pest control guy, right? That's
I would assume so. Yeah.
We didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah. At that point,
who knows?
You
could have picked it up from anywhere.
At that point, you don't know.
Until the end of the second. Yeah.
But Lewis shows up and he's pest control and says your husband must have called about some rats, and he opens the door, and instantly he just starts fucking with people. They just start talking, and he assumes that the woman is Maya. And then when Clark comes in and tries to say something to Maya, he just sprays him in the face with poison. Just very nonchalant. Just, hey, psh, like you would spray the cat. Hey, off the table.
Down.
So it's at this point that you start realizing that people have hallucinations due to the signal.
Yeah, it just really messes with their overall perception.
Everything.
Yeah.
And so then they kind of realize that none of the three of them are affected by it and they should band together. And that kind of means just decimating anybody that comes in the house, including what's-her-name's niece, who comes in looking for salvation and gets hit in the face with a shovel by Lewis.
Fucking Lewis, man.
She's coming at you with a knife. Yeah. It was a keychain.
Oh, well, ain't that some shit?
Lewis is a BA in this movie the whole time.
Dude. He is. He's lovably misunderstood. He was just trying to protect that girl. He wasn't trying to kill her. Nope. And then... And then the dude.
I'm really glad you guys like this.
I really like this movie.
I was a little bit scared because it's one of those things where, like, you know, you really like a movie and you really like a movie, but when you're like, oh, this movie's fucking amazing to other people, like, you kind of feel like an asshole if they don't like it.
Oh, her name is Anna, the overly housewife woman. That's Anna.
Anna.
But then comes my favorite part of the movie, Jim Parsons.
Yes, this is good.
So, yeah, Jim Parsons is the one person in the entire world that is seemingly completely unaffected by the signal. He shows up, he's looking for the New Year's Eve party, and his name might as well be Buck because he's there to fuck.
He's there to get down.
He's got the best lines in the entire movie. You know, this is a midnight. I'm just going to grab a girl and I'm going to pee in her butt. You know?
Yeah. As if that were a normal thing to do.
It's totally normal thing to do. Well, I'm talking about peeing on the butt or in the butt at least once more on this podcast before. This beer is good. So.
The first breakdown of the podcast.
Yeah. And then they kill more people, and Lewis goes crazy, and he starts hallucinating that...
Well, they kind of go through, and they show that the other people were crazy as well. Clark went crazy because he ended up killing Ron, or Rob, or whatever we decide his name was, and they show him, like, lopping his head off with a shovel or something.
Yep.
And because that's going to set up what happens later on at the end of the second transmission with the whole screws and the talking.
Oh, God.
So...
Yeah.
Killed Rob. Who did? She killed her husband.
Yeah. Let's talk about the bedroom scene a little bit because that was that was kind of a weird.
Wait, so wasn't the husband, the dead husband was in the bathtub at some point, right?
Yes.
So how did he get next to the bed?
Maybe she moved him?
Maybe.
Well,
there was weird flashbacks and hallucinations. See, that's the fucking stupid thing about this movie, though, is because there's a lot of just different timeline scenarios or something. You'll see one thing and then you realize it wasn't true and you're like, okay, what's actually true? What am I actually watching? At some point, Anna thought that her husband came back to life and stood up and walked over.
Yeah.
But then he was on the floor the entire time. And later, Ben, Maya's lover, hits... Lewis in the head with the fucking pest control tank and bashes his head in completely, but then it's not. And then that one ending, and it's like, what the hell is going on?
That did get me the most because he went to town on that head. I mean, and there was even a shot, so there wasn't like any confusion. There was like a shot where he was like bashing the head and you could just see it was just like ripped open.
Yeah.
Right. Like completely squished. And then like 5 minutes later, they show him laying on the ground and he barely even had blood on him and he's getting up.
Right.
I was like, it's a little weird.
Well, yeah, and I think it's what they were trying to do is that at that point in the signal or whatever, you know, you had an instance where reality was kind of, you know, it was liquid. There was no real reality going on. People were dying and they weren't, and they were alive and they weren't. They were getting their brains bashed in, but not really.
Yeah, so maybe we were seeing it from his point of view, and he really thought he was going to town on him at that point.
Yeah, because
who knows?
So he had had a touch of the signal, is from
for sure.
Well, he got a touch of the signal. Well, he seemed to be the only one that could kind of turn it off.
Yeah, like he could go somewhere in his mind and like listen to the true center.
He took a lot of yoga or some shit because he wasn't affected by that at all.
Yeah. I was like, yogurt? What are you... Oh,
yeah,
yogurt.
He centered mind and body and soul. Downward dog. Yeah. Tantric, because where did they live? They lived
tantric.
In Yeah, Terminus. You live in Terminus. You know what Terminus is?
It's the end.
No.
No.
Terminus is the name.
I have to edit that out.
It was the name for Georgia when they found Georgia, or when it was settled in the 1800s.
Really?
And yeah, they actually called it Terminus at the beginning, and this entire thing was filmed in Georgia.
Don't let him think he's that intelligent. He fucking had that written down.
I researched it.
You researched it.
I did
it.
My job.
You didn't actually know that off the top of your head.
I did my job. I don't know what the fuck a Terminus is. However, in the most recent Walking Dead, which is filmed in Atlanta, Georgia, they did have a Terminus on the sign. They wrote it on a map. They'd found a little spoiler. They found a little community named
just
Terminus.
Just ruined the whole show for me.
Dang.
I guess I better catch up.
Yeah, you better.
Yeah, that at the end of the second section, I think had my favorite death of the whole movie, the bug spray kill.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so good. He pumps, what's her name, Anna?
Anna.
Lewis pumps Anna so full of fucking bug spray that, like, she gets all bloated and, like...
Before that, even, like, when the whole, like, remember when he's spraying it on her face? And then, the whole camera, like, the whole TV goes black.
It felt very Silence of the Lambs. You know, he's like, if you say I don't know again, you get the spray again.
Yeah.
Puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
You trying to fuck my wife?
Yeah. I'd fuck your wife. I'd fuck your wife so hard.
I'd fuck me.
Yeah, it was pretty witty, though, with the whole spraying in the face and, like, her starting to go blind and then you, as the audience, like, went completely blind and just heard stuff.
But you weren't even like, damn, that's fucked up. You're like, dude, that's about pretty fucked up.
Yeah. No, I was ready for that shit to get it.
It was, for being such a brutal death, it felt just really funny. This entire second part of it was really funny, just really lighthearted.
Well, and I think that's one of my favorite aspects of it, is that while it's... You know, it kind of keeps in that same sort of brutal sort of film type where it's really funny by contrast, like the fucking wacky stuff they're saying and just the overall, like, happy motif of the section. It balances really well. Like, you've got this really happy housewife and then she gets fucking bug sprayed in the face. Like, like, you know. It's good. I like it.
And then ultimately in the mouth, like you said.
Yeah.
And she was like, bleh,
right in the mouthpiece.
Oh, and then she's dead. And she's dead. Ben, the lover, who had actually freed Lewis from being tied to a chair and then got attacked by Lewis and knocked out and thrown into the van that Lewis drove over to the New Year's Eve party, got out of the van, and then knocked Lewis out. And, releases Clark.
Oh boy. It's too many names.
Releases Clark, and this is when the second transmission ends. The third transmission, which was Escape from Terminus, starts, and then the whole movie just kind of...
Yeah, it really does kind of fall apart in the last third. It's
a post-apocalyptic love story and nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, I mean, you can talk briefly about what happens and what kind of doesn't happen.
They go to the, Clark and Ben go to the train station to try and find Maya.
Well, can I just say my favorite line of the whole movie?
Sure.
When they put the screws in Ron's head and he's like talking to the head all by itself. He's like, Terminal 13, bitch.
That's another part we forgot.
But that's how they get turned on to the train station, like, is because Clark thinks that he can talk to this decapitated head. And Ben's like, well, if you think you could do it, go for it. And he goes, yeah, all I have to do is, you know, blah, 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 and he's like spouting off all this bullshit, you know.
And he gets the information from the head, and then Ben tells him, you do realize you're having a conversation with a severed head, right?
Yeah.
I thought Ben was going to kill him at that point. Like, hey, you're clearly fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But he knew Terminal 13 because he specifically said Terminal 13.
Yeah.
So then they go to the train station to find Maya, and they're just walking around doing nothing, and they hallucinate and think they see Maya and she's dead, but it's not her, and then they find her tied to a chair, at which point they try and save her, and Lewis comes back and...
Lewis.
The first time they found her, though, the makeup was pretty good.
It was. Mm-hmm. It looked like her entire face had been ripped off.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool to look at, but nothing really happened. And then just the whole overarching love story through the whole thing just kind of fell flat.
Well, and then at the very end when he was like talking to him and he is, no, I'm Lewis.
Yeah.
That's the M. Night Shyamalan that I was thinking was going to happen. I was like, oh shit, I've been mind fucked this whole time. Like, he really was Lewis. Like, he really was
the husband. I thought the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I thought the roles were reversed through the entire movie. I was like, oh, yes, okay, there's this twist. Oh, no, it's not a twist.
Yeah.
No, you're just fucking weird. So
yeah.
Ben starts yelling at Lewis and convincing Lewis that he, in fact, is Ben and Ben is Lewis. And that Ben should feel bad for fucking somebody's wife or something. Yeah. And then Ben throws a temper tantrum and punches the TV and gets electrocuted. And I'm fucking irritated. Like, that was the stupidest fucking thing. Okay, you can go crazy, I understand that. But to die by punching through a television and getting electrocuted...
Which I don't think is even possible.
Yeah, I don't think it is either.
To be honest.
Let's try it.
Well, not this one. This one's expensive.
But...
Sounds expensive.
I didn't see how that was possible, and I thought it was just kind of writing it off really quickly.
Yeah, it really fell apart in the last 20
minutes.
We're
running a little long. Let's just kill this guy off and... Then Maya is just sitting there twitching and Ben's staring at her. And then they have these weird flashbacks, which you can't really tell if that... I, upon watching it the second time, assume that the flashbacks where they are with Clark and leaving Clark, going their separate ways and having sex in the coat room, that is what happened after they left the train station. The scenes of them on the train, I'm assuming that's before this entire thing happened, maybe where they met. But so Maya's sitting there with this weird tic, like she's affected by the signal, and Ben somehow finds her Discman and puts it on her and plays the mix CD, and she cries, leading you to believe that
she's like broken the signal.
Yeah, exactly. And then the movie ends, leaving you to make your own ending. And
yeah, it's. I almost wanted to tell you guys to not watch the last.
We kind of have to watch.
But like I felt, you know, I felt that the first two sections were so really well done. The last one is a huge letdown. Like you watch it and you're like, oh, payoff. It's time for some payoff.
No.
And you get nothing.
I think it's the second half of the third. The first half is all right, but before they actually get to the train station.
Right.
Like, that's decent. It's still okay. And then it just all completely shuts down as soon as they get there.
Well, I think part of it might be that the first two were just so good that it was hard to live up to it. And that really sucks if your name is Dan Bush, who directed the third one, because the third one was just boring.
Dan Bush, you son of a bitch.
You know, and they were all written by the same three guys.
It was really boring. It's one of those things where do you judge the whole movie by kind of like a whole cohesive thing, or do you say like parts one and parts two were really, really well done, and so we forgive part three?
I feel like the first two were done well enough that I can forgive part three. I mean, part three wasn't horrible. I've seen significantly worse. It was just boring and uneventful.
Yeah, Hell Baby.
No, Hell Baby.
Yes, Hell Baby.
Hell Baby was significantly better than the third part of this movie.
Oh!
Hail Hell Baby.
Hail Hey Baby.
Hey Baby.
Hey Baby.
Hey Babies.
Hey Baby. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a fairly independent movie. So as a whole, what did you think of the whole movie, Bo?
I mean, what did you call my type at the very beginning before we played the game?
A normie?
A normie. As a normie, I can honestly say that I could recommend any other normie to at least give it a try. Like, this would be a good gateway drug to any other, like, maybe more B-movie, if that makes any sense. Like, it's good enough. It bridges the gap well enough. It's not like jumping straight into...
Yeah, it's really well produced. Like, if you look at the visuals and the way it's filmed, it doesn't look like a low budget film.
And the acting was really decent.
Yeah.
I mean, take a wild guess what the budget on this film was.
I'm gonna say 15.
15 what?
15 million.
Ooh.
Take a guess.
Oh shit! 5 at that.
50,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
50,000.
That's really well done.
Shit. Only made $401,000 box office, but still $50,000.
Well, and I think it's got a kind of cult following. Like, if we're talking box office, yeah, that was really fucked
up. Honestly,
but
I'd never heard of it until you recommended it. I may have heard the name in passing, but I knew nothing about the movie.
That's a damn shame, because it's one of those where...
I've seen it now.
If you forgive the last section, it's a really well-done movie.
I did. I forgave the last section. I mean, the fact that the violence in the first was strong enough that I could feel it, and the second section had me laughing a lot more.
Almost hysterically.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything about that was just so over-the-top zany that you can't help but laugh at the entire thing, which is really kind of nice coming from the extreme adrenaline high of the first part. Yeah. Everything in the first section is just really intense. And then it's a lot of lighthearted comedy, but with still a lot of really...
with some good, really fucked up
moments. Yeah. And then the third just...
Did Ollie watch it?
She watched it today with
me. What'd
you
think?
She, same reaction, was laughing hysterically during the middle. Still, she gave it 3.5, you know, 3.5
Yeah,
stars.
My wife felt the same way when we watched it. And we watched it when it first came out on video. Like, we're talking 2008, maybe. And my wife, kind of like Bo, when they grew up, they didn't really watch a lot of movies. Like, if you name drop an actor, they're like, who?
Yeah, and I'm better at it now because... my girlfriend you used to work at a movie theater.
Yeah.
So we would go to all the free movies. So basically everything like 2000, like early 2000s forward, like mainstream, I could probably like hang with it.
Right.
Which is better than what Ronnie could.
Yeah,
do.
Ronnie's really like a tough customer when you're like, did you see that movie, Baggett? And she's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
She saw Hell Baby.
She did see Hell Baby. She didn't like Hell Baby though. So.
She seemed to like it.
Did she?
She did the wife cast and came out in favor of it.
The wife cast was really fun, man. But no, it was one of those things where when I was first starting to introduce her to, like, you know, good horror movies, it was one that she really enjoyed, again, up until the last third. And it's more like the third and a half. Because the last third's pretty good up until the last little bit. But yeah, no, my wife is a pretty good sport when it comes to watching horror films. And you know, this is a pretty brutal one to just, there's a horror movie for you.
Right. I feel like it's a pretty even mix of everything.
Yeah.
I feel like regardless of what, aside from the supernatural element, there's something for everyone in this.
Well, yeah, and it was supposed to have been like terrorists that did the signal.
I assumed it was aliens.
That's really?
That was my vibe.
Right.
I don't know. I didn't really care too much like why it happened. It happened. Terrorist, alien.
It doesn't matter. It
could have been just a breakdown in the system. Who knows? Yeah.
Well, and it's funny, too. If you've read, and we've talked about it on the podcast, I think, a couple times, Stephen King's The Cell, it's almost the exact same plot device where...
Is it The Cell like that J-Lo movie?
I'm sorry, Cell. Not The Cell, but just Cell. Where it's basically people that are on cell phones, if they're on their cell phones when the pulse comes through... They get turned.
Oh, like that movie Pulse?
No, I didn't. That movie looked terrible.
Same premise?
No, I don't think so. Was it? No, the Pulse was like a virus, like a ghost virus or some shit like that.
Mm.
Well, anywho, the movie or the book Cell is basically the same thing, where people that are on their cell phones, when the pulse comes through, they turn into like violent zombies is essentially what it is. So it was funny having watched this film and then reading Cell, and it was like, who stole the idea from who? Because this is really similar.
I'm sure Signal stole it from Stephen King, but
damn,
it was still, I for someone who just tells the things I don't like,
hey,
I like this movie.
So our buddy Joe texts me today and he goes, hey, I've been listening to the last few episodes and I listened to the newest one and I really like it, but what's up with that dude that just is just really down on everything? And I go, are you talking about Matt? He goes, yeah, like why does he hate everything? Like, well, that's kind of his bit. Like, you know, he doesn't like most things.
I have incredibly high standards. That's why I saw Canine 100 times.
Yeah. But really, like, we all kind of hate everything. Like, you know, none of us really like everything all the time.
That's why we're nerds with a podcast.
Yeah.
If we actually didn't hate everything, we'd have nothing to talk about.
We'd have nothing to say.
Yeah, that movie was really good. I really liked the way they filmed it. And the acting was was really
good.
Movie's
great.
Yeah. So, moving on.
Thank you for listening to the Closer Podcast.
You've been a wonderful audience.
Oh wow! Where do we go from here? I don't even know.
We go down the toilet.
I, like I said earlier, it's you know, it's one of my favorite movies, and I think that if you haven't seen it, even if we've pretty much spoiled it, you know what's happening, I think it's worth a watch. Even if
I would recommend.
Yeah. Gore factor. I mean, if nothing, just to watch the over the top kills, do it.
They could have sprinkled in a few boobs.
This may be the first movie that we've seen no boobs in.
Well, especially because he was so adamant about her taking a shower in the beginning section or the beginning segment. And there's one thing Alia pointed out was he called his wife man. He's like, go take a shower, man. Like, he kept telling her to go take a shower because he likes the way she sweats and she smells like perfume and he doesn't like that.
He doesn't like it.
So yeah. I guess he wants her to take a shower and do a bunch of jumping jacks and get all fishy. And
yeah, there could have totally been like an Anna makeout sesh with her husband, you know, where she's just like doing it to herself.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. Or she could have just gone in the shower and soaked up.
Instead of dancing, she could have been rubbing herself.
They could have done a split screen with the bat scene, the beating, and Anna in the shower giving herself a one-handed vagina rub.
Oh, yeah. And then, so many possibilities.
And then she could have come out and freaked out and ran out into the hallway in a towel and lost her towel.
Basically, like, you killed anything sexual about that scene just
now. I found a way to turn it into a really horrible porno.
A one-handed vagina rub.
It's called a Mishkin.
Mishkin. Wow. Urban Dictionary, that shit.
We learn something new every day from Matt Smith. Good God.
I learned that from Ron Jeremy.
You're the worst.
Oh my God, that guy.
Anywho, yeah, so I think that, well, I wish Mikey had been able to join us because I think he would have liked it.
Unfortunately, Mikey is the hardest working guy I know and he's been waging a war against free leisure time for the last 8 years, so he's busy handling his shit.
But yeah, well, I mean, we just got, I think we have to accommodate him a little bit differently than most, but you know, it's tough. If you miss Mikey, he'll be back. Just
leave us comments on places and tell us that you miss Mikey.
No, it's tough to get everybody coordinated. I mean, I've been trying to get Bo on for 17 episodes now. Say, yeah.
And you've been trying to get Bo off for 57 minutes.
No, almost 10 years now.
Oh, you need to work on your skills then. Oh. Or Bo needs to go into porn.
I think Bo might like doing porn, maybe.
Nah, I get performance anxiety. Stop looking at me.
Don't look at it.
Close your eyes. It's gross.
All right. Well, we're going to end the movie review portion of our podcast right about now. Did you have anything to wrap up with?
If you haven't, play Binding of Isaac and play lots of it and lots of it. And watch Boarding House from the 1980s because that's what we're doing next, I think. Except for when you tune in and we've done Bad Milo!
Bad Milo! No, we're going to do House of the Devil!
Yeah, again.
Or no, what was the one we were supposed to do?
Here Comes the Devil.
Here Comes the Devil, which we might be doing sometime in the near future. I don't know.
We realized it was too many Mexican demon movies in 1 month.
So we pushed
it back. No, he picked Paranormal Wacktivity, Los Mariachis, Cheech's Revenge.
Yeah.
And I picked Here Comes the Devil, but we didn't get a chance to do Here Comes the Devil.
We'll get to it. I mean, even if we have to, you know, do a different cast or whatever, we'll get to it. I mean, I didn't watch that piece of shit for no reason.
I didn't watch it 3 times for no reason.
God, you're the worst. I can't say you're the worst enough.
Wait until Zombie with a Shotgun 5 comes out.
Oh, so bad. All right, well, Bo, what'd you do? What'd you think about The Signal? We already talked about that.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. But thanks for having me, like, most importantly. Like,
yeah.
You know, get the normal guy's opinion.
Thanks for coming and not drinking our beer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, yeah, he drank too much last night is the problem.
I don't care how he fucking got to it. He just didn't drink our beer. It's more for me. Cheers to that. Now it's time for burritos.
Are we signing off with burritos?
Burritos.
All right, everybody.
Forget the donuts. We're here for fucking burritos.
No, that doesn't flow as well.
Okay, I'm Matt Smith.
And this is Jorge.
And I'm Bo.
Signing off for the Who Goes There podcast once again, episode 17. Please tune in to episode 18. We would love to have you guys join the Who Goes There cult. Thanks very much. And who goes there to you?
No.
Yes.
You know, Bo don't know horror movies. That's what Bo don't know.
I don't.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.
And find the Who Goes There podcast on whogoestherepodcast.com, facebook.com/whogoestherepodcast. Follow us on Twitter at whogoestherepod and search iTunes for Who Goes There podcast. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. It really helps us out.
Woo! Thank you. We forgot Instagram, so look us up on Instagram. Thank you very much.